The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, I've come from Columbia, South Carolina, where I was privileged to be in a community that often had the participation of seminarians, young students preparing for ministry who would be part of our community on a regular basis as part of their faith growth. And we would encourage them to share their stories and tell their tales to help others see how God is at work in future pastors. Well, one such young man, Drew, had gone to Israel, and so as seminarians do when they go to the Holy Land, they come back and talk about it. And I'd heard lots of these before, seen all of the same pictures, but Drew put up an image that I had never seen before. And it's one that's stuck in my mind, and one that I want to share with you on this holy night. They were making their way from one town to another. It was dusk, and that sky was reaching that place where there was no longer orange, but it wasn't quite dark, something in the purple realm. And as they were rounding their turn, the professor of the group spotted out in the field and shouted, "Look!" And everybody turned and looked out the left side of the bus and saw the silhouette of a man standing in a field. It was a real live shepherd. Their money had been well spent, because that's one of those things promised when you go on a Holy Land tour. You get to see a shepherd. And sure enough, they did. And there he was with a modern version of a staff in his hand, barely able to see a silhouette, not able to see what type of Bedouin man this was, but there out there watching over his flocks by night, in this perfect image of the purple behind him and the blackness of the silhouette of his body, and then just right there in his hand, the glow of his smartphone. I kid you not. He was watching over his flocks by night, doing what he was supposed to do, because being a shepherd back then or now is not exciting work. It doesn't pay well. It's not one of those glamorous jobs. And so if your boss catches you sneaking a look or playing Candy Crush on your phone, so be it. Well, everybody on the tour was amazed and had to do what Drew did and capture the picture. So in the middle of this guy just minding his own business, he looks over to see the bus full of flash bulbs popping through the window of this image of the shepherd, of this image that Drew captured perfectly. 2,000 years ago was not much different. There was no Candy to crush or Facebook to look at, but a shepherd all the same was pretty lousy work. Shepherds who lived in their fields, it says in our scripture text this night, who were there all the time, who didn't even own these sheep, but were rather hired and maybe not so well paid hands, who had to sit among the stink and the cold and everything that comes with being outside in the midst of sheep. But that was their job. And that's what they were told to do. Our gospel text this night from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, is the version of the Christmas story. Sure, there's one in Matthew, but it doesn't look good in Christmas plays or in Charlie Brown spectaculars. But this one actually tells two different stories. The first seven verses of what I read tonight was happening in Bethlehem, the story we know where Mary and Joseph arrive, and it's time, and there's no room in the inn, and so they give birth and wrap the baby in swaths of cloth, lying in the manger. It's a beautiful story, and one that we hold in our hearts, and that we can remember our own children having a role in that play some years back. But then there's one other story happening. It's the story that picks up at verse 8. It's the story of the shepherds, which has no connection at all to what's going on in Bethlehem. Really, the only connection is that in that same region. So these guys, these shepherds, who happen to be geographically near to where the most amazing miracle in all of humankind was taking place, doing their own thing, minding their own business, and what happens? They're greeted by an angel of the Lord. Bright light, and everything that you might expect with an angelic encounter. But what is the response of the shepherds? Fear. Great fear. Such fear that the Bible in Greek takes three words to describe. Ephobethethein, phobon, megan. And that's like just so much fear that it can't be contained. That foe that you heard me read two times is the root of the word phobia. It's fear that shook the shepherds to their core. They were scared. They were scared. Whatever was happening was not normal. It was not just another night watch with the sheep. Something weird was happening. In the midst of all that, the angel knows this. And so the first words are, "Do not be afraid." Guess what? I've got amazing news to tell you. Good tidings of joy for all people. For over there, somewhere in the same region, in a story that isn't part of your own, shepherds, something amazing has happened. This teenage woman has bore the child of God, not by the way we learned about in health class, but by the magic of the power of the mystery of beyond explanation, the incarnation of what happens when God is at work. And there in that moment, these two stories collide. And the angel brings to these shepherds news of good tidings of great joy for all people. And they bring it to the shepherds. Okay, this is where I pause and I have to take a deep breath and say, time out. Why among all the people in the world who could have been the first to receive the good news of this amazing incarnational experience, would lowly shepherds be the first one to hear it? And why, with those lowly shepherds whose sole part of their job description was to keep the sheep safe. I'm going to try that one again. Was to keep the sheep safe. Say that five times fast. Why would they be willing, after the angel's proclamation, to, in no uncertain terms, just quit their work and leave their sheep in the fields and go to this manger? Why? Why the shepherds? Why would they quit their job? Because that's who God is. That's who God is. God's message of salvation was intentionally given to the lowest of the low. We need to hear that. God's message of salvation was intentionally given to the lowest of the low. They were the laborers without the benefits packages, health insurance, and 401ks. God's message of salvation is supposed to rock everything around us when we hear it. It's supposed to reshape who we are. And so when we ask the question, why the shepherds and why would they leave their work? Because that's what God is. God changes everything. In this overwhelming experience where God, through Jesus Christ, completely changes the direction of the people who hear it, is not just limited to the nativity story. This is how God works, right? The first thing that Jesus does after he's been baptized and he's a disciple is he goes to a seashore and finds two guys who are fishing with their dads and tells them to drop their nets and come and follow me. These guys don't debate it with their dads or say, hey, do you think that'll be okay if I take a few weeks off and follow this guy? No, they just drop their nets and go. That's what Jesus does. In all the stories of Scripture, we can think of so many where Jesus just shows up and through the power of Jesus, things change. It happens when those who are too demonized to even be acknowledged by the world, who are chained to the walls, are the ones who Jesus walks up to and frees of their demons. It happens when Jesus talks to people of ill repute and not only shows love for them, but invites them to dinner. It happens when Jesus is willing to stand up to Pharisees and Sadducees and those who think they have it their way and tell them how it is. That's what Jesus does. Jesus shows up in a way that is unexpected, and frankly, a way that should be a little scary. Maybe we should be a little afraid, a little phobicithe of what it means to come together tonight and acknowledge what this nativity story is all about. Whether you are in church every Sunday, or this is your first time in a pew in a long time, or maybe this is your first time in church ever, what we hear in this gospel story is that God is going to be at work in ways that we least expect, at inconvenient times, and in ways that don't make sense to the rest of the world around us. Hear that again. To follow God and to hear God's message and to live that out means that God is going to be at work in ways that we don't expect, that are inconvenient, and don't make sense to the world around us. Just like the story we are hearing tonight. And like the shepherds in this text, we are led to the manger to acknowledge that this newborn king, this little Christ child who changes the world, also changes our lives. And when we are led to the manger, God will open our eyes to the power of the gift made known through this story. When we are led to the manger, we recognize the things will change. Because at the manger, we see and smell and feel different than our normal lives. The manger is dirty. This is a barn, a stable we're talking about here, where this beautiful birth happens. And the manger is dirty. And being a Christian sometimes means getting a little dirty. It means being willing to set aside our comfort and joys of first world life to acknowledge that Christ did not only come into the world for the elite, but the shepherds of the modern world. A few weeks back, we had a pretty good snow around here. For you visiting northerners, you call that spring. But for around here, it was a pretty big deal. Things closed, and resources weren't available in the usual way that they were. So those who had come to our overflow shelter on a Friday evening, who watched the snow start to fall and accumulate throughout the night, knowing that temperatures would never rise above freezing the next day, wondered what it would be like when they had to get up at the normal time of 5:30 and go out into the world and face that day. And so we made a decision that we don't make very often around here. We decided that we'd keep the shelter open. And if those people were willing to stay all day and not leave, that we would find a way to feed them and keep them warm until they stayed with us through the next night when weather would rise and temperatures would come up enough that they could go out into the world. 3/4 of the men at our shelter made that decision to stay. And by the grace of God, the gifts were completed and collected so that a great meal could be enjoyed by them. And nothing was for want. Well, what do you do when you've got 18 guys who are there in a shelter all day? You do what you do on any snow day. You watch movies. So here in the Family Life Center, the guys brought their mats and we pulled down the big screen and movies played. I wasn't there, but a friend captured an image for me. And I want to share this image with you. There the folks were on their mats, warm and fed and safe, in a world where that doesn't often happen for them. And they were watching movies up on the screen. But in the middle of that was the set for what was supposed to be the next day's Christmas play. And what sat there but a manger? Right smack in the middle of it all was the manger. The place where God's message comes to us. The place where we recognize that to proclaim the good tidings of great joy, that we are called to set aside the norms of life when we intersect with the manger. And what that manger will look like in our lives is going to be different. I don't know where the manger is just going to plop down in your life. I don't know where God will lead you. But I can promise that when you find it, at the hospital, in the loneliness of the halls of the nursing home, in the line for a payday loan, in the voice of your child's friend who is always telling you way too many scary things about what happens at their house, in all the people that you pause and pray for, wherever you find the manger, it will appear. And if you keep alert, it's not hard to find. The mangers are all around us. Places that don't smell or feel or look the same. Places that might be a little scary. But when you find that manger, hear what the angel said to the shepherds. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of what it means to engage in the manger and to proclaim a good news, just as the shepherds came and told Mary and Joseph. Do not be afraid of what politicians or pundits or Facebook tell you about the ones that you will meet. Rather, trust in God that these, your neighbors, need God's love just the same. Do not be afraid to share the love of God in your own words and actions, not by the proclamation of condemnation, but rather in the promise of love. Jesus managed to always find himself with those who weren't ready, underqualified, and had less than stellar resumes. Jesus worked in all of them, and Jesus will certainly work in you. So as you go forth this night, minding your own business, and like that Bedouin shepherd, looking down at your smartphone, remember that God will show up in the most unexpected ways. We tell a story of God showing up in a barn that has stood the test of time. What stories will God tell in our love of neighbor? How will God be at work in you? Do not be afraid. Go and find the manger. Thanks be to God. Amen.